picture three. So we're now on to the aerosols. So this is what's examined in the first test. So our aerosols then in the atmosphere, we broaden the definition a little bit out. We can include some pretty large particles, up to 100 micrometers, so we end up with like large aerosols and then regular aerosols. They need to remain suspended in the atmosphere for a decent period of time, and that's why this is the size range that will give you a decent length of time for suspension. Now, there are a number of ways of classifying aerosols. So our first way then, according to the type of aerosol, so I'm calling these guys organic carbon aerosols. I went to a workshop in Port last week. We had some guys that were involved in climate modelling from CSIRO there, and their language on this is OC aerosols, so organic carbon aerosols. They are typically then low volatility acids, so carboxylic acids. They could be phenols. What's phenol? Yes, benzene with an OH. Yeah, yep, that's phenols. So they're quite common things. Various other sorts of aliphatic alcohols and aromatic compounds in general. Particularly important are dicarboxylic acids. These will have low volatility. They've got lots of oxygen on them. Or fatty acids. Fatty acids, what was the structure of these guys? Yeah, now triacyl glycerides, they have three fatty acids bonded to what backbone? Glycerol. Yeah. What's the IUPAC name for glycerol? I always ask this and everybody hates it, but I'll do it anyway.
Go on, tell us.
1,2,3 propane triol. Yeah? Okay, so it's a very simple little alcohol. So we take that and we form three bonds to fatty acids. Now, characteristics of the fatty acids were they're simply long-chain carboxylic acids. That's all we're looking at. So what we're doing then is if we break down a piece of biology that contains some triglycerides or triacyl glycerides, cleave off those fatty acids, they end up flying around in the atmosphere. The fact that they've got OHs, either phenols or carboxylic acids, means that they will tend to hydrogen bond together. They'll form a small a liquid unit. The other sorts of organic particles that we could get up there, we could get organic molecules that have been broken down in bushfires to form black carbon, so black carbon aerosol. This is then elemental carbon, so it's now not strictly an organic molecule, it's just organic in origin. Another particularly common thing, lots of bits of plant biology are formed by joining glucose molecules together. You remember when we looked at the structure of sucrose, starch, things like that. Glucose is a common constituent. We therefore burn these things, we break them down, we form modified glucose, which is called levoglucosan. That's quite a common constituent of the organic carbon fraction of the aerosols. We can also find simple bits of biology in that size range. So certain viruses, spores and pollen will be in the less than 100 micrometer class. A second major type are inorganic aerosols, and the most obvious one is dust. If you physically abrade your minerals to the point where they get down below 100 micrometres, they then become an inorganic aerosol, which moves a long distance by wind-driven processes. So the classic ones are, in Australia, you'll end up with Australian red soil on the ski slopes of New Zealand. It's routine. You'll get red snow. In Europe, you'll end up with dust from the Sahara being blown right across into Europe. By the same thing. So these aerosols can travel a long way. We get dust from volcanic eruptions. The most famous in recent times was Mount Pinatubo going off. It threw a lot of sulfur dioxide out, which formed a liquid sulfuric acid aerosol. It also threw out an awful lot of inorganic aerosol dust at the same time. The combination of the two lowered the global temperature quite significantly. Now, relative to other historic volcanic eruptions, this was a baby. So in New Zealand, for instance, there's a major lake in the North Island called Lake Taupo. So it's a big lake. It was actually a volcano, so that when it went off, it turned itself into a massive lake. It makes Mount Pinatubo look like a just a little baby. So that would have completely annihilated the world's climate for a good length of time. It would have made everything pitch black for many years. So these things are quite big. Sea sulfate is another common inorganic aerosol. So we're going to go and look at the composition of the oceanic waters in a bit of detail, and we'll find in the mix is not only sodium and chloride, but the sulfate. The sodium and chloride components, the chlorine, can be lost as hydrochloric acid. And what's left behind then is sodium and sulfate, and that's why we have sea sulfate aerosol. So it's simply forming by the breaking of bubbles in the ocean. You're losing water from that to the point where you've got a solid particle, chemical reaction, losing the chlorine component, and you're then left primarily with sodium sulfate. So there's your reaction there. Sulfuric acid, which is present from SO2 from volcanoes, for instance, forming sulfuric acid, reacting with your sea salt aerosol particle to remove the chlorine component, hydrochloric acid gas, and then you've got sodium bisulfate.